today we continue in 1 Peter chapter 2. We started off this discussion of having a... I got to get all my ducks lined up. We started off having this discussion of having a living hope and a sure salvation. And as part of that, we're looking now at living in holiness and what that means and what that looks like and how we do that. It's you recognize the importance of this when Jesus when our God says, "Be holy, for I'm holy." Right? So holiness then should be a major part of our thought process, our pursuit of holiness. What does that look like? And all of us struggle with sin. All of us deal with different things in our lives. But is there a general pursuit of holiness for each and every one of us? And today, as we move forward, we're going to be in verse 16 and 17. But if you remember when we started this, living holy lives, we live lives in which we fear God. We love Him. We love the people around us. We have experienced and tasted the kindness of Him. And then as newborn babes, we come to Him. And He is building up the church, building us up as the church, as living stones. And we started this discussion last week that we're living as not only as newborn babes and not only as living stones, but also living as free men. And it's interesting that the first part of that, in verse 13, begins with submit. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And so we've talked about how we are to live in submission to the authority that God gives us. We looked at Romans chapter 13, some, and those kind of statements in which we live in this world differently. Not as rebellious people, but as those who would submit for the Lord's sake. And today we continue that in that as a free man, we not only honor authority, but we act as free men. We act as free men. We see that in verse 16. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brethren, fear God, honor the King. Father, I pray that today, as we work through these few verses, Lord, show us how we're to live as free men. Jesus came to break the bonds of sin, to free the captives, set the captives free. That's who we are. And Lord, recognizing that He leads captive a host of captives. Father, we submit to Him as servants of the Most High King. Now show us that today. Empower Your Word today in us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see this statement, act as free men. And truly, we are free, but what we must realize is that real freedom is possessed by those who walk in the truth. Real freedom is possessed by those who walk in the truth. The truth being that which is really real, that which is real and true as observed by God. That's what truth is. It's what's real as observed by God. See, a lot of times we think we know what the truth is, but we can only see half the picture or a part of the picture. God observes everything in His omniscience and omnipresence. He is everywhere and knows all things. And so the truth of what really is must be held in comparison to God. Otherwise, you will have some sort of subjective reality that's not even real. So real freedom is possessed by those who walk in the truth. John says, "I have no greater joy than this, than to hear my children are walking in the truth." The truth is what sets you free. And so walking in freedom is to walk in truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So if you are to act as a free man, then you have to know what it looks like to be free. And the only way to be free is to know the truth. And today we live with so much deception. It amazes me. You get on online. We've talked about this before, especially with all the advance of AI. And there are videos on there of people saying and doing things that you would never imagine that they would ever say and do. And in fact, they haven't. It's an AI-generated video that's not real. But in every way, by all appearances, it looks real. It looks to be the truth. And yet, it's not. How are we then to know what is true and what is real? Well, Jesus says, look, if you continue in my word. This is the reason that we spend so much energy and effort and time to study God's word, to know God's word, to talk about it, even outside of Bible studies, to think about it, to dwell on it, to meditate upon it. The psalmist says, man, I meditate on it day and night. What is it that you're thinking about when you're laying there in the middle of the night? Is it the task list for tomorrow? Because if that's the case, it's not going to bring you peace. You're not going to be able to sleep. It's going to create anxieties, all of those things. But when we meditate upon God's word, what does it do? It infuses us. I'm a farm guy, and I like cows. And everybody knows how cows eat, right? They eat the grass, and then they go find a shady place, and they bring that back up, and they chew on the cud. Not to be too grotesque about that. You know what I'm talking about. This is the picture that we have of meditating upon God's word. We take it in, and we take it, internalize it. James says that word that is in you that's able to save. And we take that and internalize it. The psalmist says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's taken in, internalized. A lot of folks are going to sit and listen to a preacher today, or listen to a praise team or a worship team or people singing around them, and it's just outside chatter. It might even be considered noise to them. But it's never internalized for them. They don't take in God's word. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so when people leave God's word in the external, what do you think is going to be missing also? Faith. If we have no drive, desire, concern for God's word, then what does that say about faith? If the very essence of our faith, the coming, giving of our faith, comes from the hearing of the word of Christ. And here Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples. Truly. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So, the reality, as observed by God, is that those who continue in the word of Christ are his disciples. They are his children. It's the reality. I don't care what we might say, what people might think. There is one reality, one truth. And that is, those who continue in the word of Christ are His. His disciples, truly, for real. And yet, in this universalist kind of mentality of the day, any and everybody gets a free pass, with or without any concern for God's word. So if I'm going to live a holy life, that definition of holiness must come from God's word. If it doesn't, if I dismiss the need for holiness and think nothing, take lightly God's statement, "Be holy, for I am holy." I mean, God sets a parameter there. If you want to come into my presence, holiness is required. The writer of Hebrews says that we should seek to live at peace with all men. What else are we to pursue? We're to pursue peace with all men. What else are we to pursue? And the holiness of God, without which no man will see God. There's a parameter, there's a boundary there that God says, you must be holy, for I'm holy. The beauty of this Sunday school lesson today on God's plan of redemption and promise of redemption is that even though I have no ability whatsoever to derive holiness or generate holiness in and of myself, God Himself has made a way for me to be holy. That is a glorious truth and reality. Excuse me. I think I'm allergic to these songbooks. Something makes me sneeze. Anyway. So we gotta walk in the truth. If you want to be free, if you want to have a free life, Matt's over there sniffing the songbooks. That is classic. If you want to have a life that is genuinely, truly free so that you can act as a free man, the foundation of that must be God's word. Freedom is not a circumstance. It is a state of being in which you recognize the truth. That's what we're willing to walk in. It's not based on your circumstances. I want to tell you something. There's folks in prison today who are more free than folks like us that can walk around anywhere we want to be. Because they genuinely trust God. They love His Word. They seek His face in His Word. And they are being transformed into the image of His Son through His Word. And they're in prison every day. There are people who live in countries, not here, where it is illegal to even own a Bible, where it's illegal to say the name of Jesus or speak the name of Jesus. It's illegal to share the gospel, and yet they live as free men because they walk in the truth. And the truth is, it ain't about your circumstances. And we get so cranked up in this country about we're losing personal freedoms. That is the most ridiculous thing for a believer in the United States to think and live in of anything I can think of. You walk as a free man, regardless of your circumstances. I don't care if they take away your guns, they take away your property, I don't care about any of that stuff. You live as free men. You are free not because of your circumstances. And we got to get this mentality out of our head that that's what this is talking about, because it's not. The freedom that we have is in Christ Jesus. And walking outside of that places you in a dangerous position. Because Jesus says, if you're mine, truly mine, you're going to walk in my word. You're going to keep my commandments. You're going to It's pretty simple. Continue in my word. And sometimes we lose sight of that. You need to remember, a few weeks ago we had this discussion of who we are. We are a people who were not a people, that God has made a people, a possession, His own possession. We belong to God. That is the truth. That's what's real. And you live in this country. You live in this state. You live in this community. Well, most of you don't live in this community, but some folks live in this community. And you live and walk as a free man, regardless of the circumstances that are going on around you. It is 100% independent of whether of who's in the White House, who the government is, whether it's a king, a dictator, a president, doesn't matter. This is written for all who believe, and it is independent of every bit of that stuff. Walk as free men. And when I get really frustrated when I hear believers who are, they're just keyed up and cranked up over stuff going on in the public realm. Don't you know that's exactly what's going to happen? Well, if you read God's word, you would. Don't you know that's what dead folks do? Dead folks do dead things. Why would you expect them to do differently? You are the one who is free. Act like a free man. And that's exactly what Peter is saying. Act as a free man. Don't use your freedom as a covering for evil. Don't use the freedom that you have in Christ as some covering for evil. And I want to tell you, when you begin to take God's word and try to blend it with all kind of things of this world, you're doing evil. That's exactly what God brought judgment upon His children for. They blended worship. And I know we have blended worship services. That's not necessarily the same thing. They were blending the worship of God with the worship of idols. They would bring in a temple, an idol of Baal into the temple area. We're going to cover both bases, just in case. You know what? That's what a lot of folks are doing today. They're trying to blend a reality of who they are in Christ with what they want to see in the world. Brothers and sisters, this world is not your home. You are a stranger and an alien passing through here. And we are on our way to a place where Jesus has gone to prepare for us, a place in which we will dwell in His presence forever and forever proclaim His glory. That's the reality. But we get cranked up over temporal, silly stuff here in this world. Jesus says, look, the truth is what makes you free. You are actually a bond slave to God. And I know in today's society, nobody likes that word slave or whatever. It is what it is. It's a servant of God. Real freedom is possessed by those who walk in the truth, and real freedom is possessed by those who are enslaved to God. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, there you go. Be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are gentle and good, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin you are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. See, servants of God realize that their circumstances don't matter. Here you see a direct statement to someone who might, during this day in which they were involved in slavery, It happens all over the world today still, but it's not a good thing. But he says, look, if you're a servant, submit to that one that you are indentured to. Submit to that one. And he says, it's not about the title that you have as a servant. It's not about the position or the circumstance that you're in. What is he dealing with in this verse? But the heart in which you deal with it. Look at what he says. Respect or be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle. How many of us have bosses that are good? How many of us have bosses that are bad? Let's put this in the rubber meets the road real world today. How do you respond to those bosses? How do you talk about those bosses? And some of you are retired and go, man, you used to work. You know what I'm talking about. You used to go to work every day. And you had a boss. Some were good, maybe, hopefully. Some were good. I've had good bosses. I've had bad bosses. The question is not whether or not you're going to have a bad boss or a good boss or the circumstance that you're in. The question is, how are you going to respond? How are you going to live? Are you going to respect them? No, I don't respect them. They got to earn my respect. You don't really understand authority, do you? Not only to the good ones, but also to the bad ones. If for the sake of conscience towards God, if we bear up under hardship, and look, people experience hardship at work all the time now, right? I mean, there's people that do a ton of stuff and they don't ever get recognized for it. They got bosses that micromanage. They got all of these different things that are happening that are coming down on them. And what Peter says is, look, if you messed up and you're getting what you deserve, there ain't much to that. But if you are doing what is right and you suffer, that finds favor with God. That's a cool thing. We hear occasionally in Scripture of folks who find favor with God. Anybody remember any of those guys? Who's the first one you think of? What about Noah? What was Noah's deal? Noah found favor in the eyes of God. It's a pretty big deal, wasn't it? All of creation got underwater except for Noah and his family because of the grace of God. Don't you think about this. Don't you think whatever circumstance you're in with your boss, that God is able, through his favor, to save, to preserve you, to keep you, to help you? And I've had folks that just, man, they can't stand their bosses. I'm sure I got people that don't like me as a boss. I guarantee you. It's not, I'm human. We're all humans, right? We got that innate desire to rebel. That's who we are. But what does he say? Look, if you're doing what is right, if you're submitting to that authority and you suffer, that finds favor with God. But there's a deeper reality that goes with being enslaved to God. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You know what that says? When you were living in sin, you didn't care about righteousness. You didn't care about you didn't have a pursuit of holiness. You didn't care about whether or not God was pleased. You're free from that. That's a bad kind of freedom. But you were slaves to sin. And how many folks think, you know, sin is not that big a deal? Sin is the worst master. Sin will ultimately destroy. That's what Satan has come to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. So he loves when you go do what your heart tells you to do. Paul says, you were slaves. You didn't care about righteousness. Verse 21, therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? You look back on your life now, you see things that you went, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. Things that were shameful. Did those things benefit you? I mean, at the moment you thought you were living the high life, right? Sin has its pleasure for a season. Thought you were in good shape. And now you look back and go, what a fool I was. That's what Paul says. You were a slave. You couldn't do any different. Dead folks do dead things. But now, see, there's that word but again. But now. See, that's who you used to be. You used to do those things that you are ashamed of today. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. You're no longer enslaved to sin. You're free there. Because that's what Jesus came to do, right? Set the captives free. Those who have been captivated by sin, Jesus came to free them. Having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, who is the master of your fate? What is that poem, Invictus? And Invictus, I can't remember who wrote that. Boy, I'm way out there on the literature thing. Just this limb is fixing to break off, I'm sure. The only thing I remember of this poem is, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. You know what? That's how most folks live. I do what I want to do when I want to do it. I am the master. I am the captain. And yet for the believer, we're enslaved to God. I'm not the one calling the shots in my life. Where I go, what I do. Me and Kelly were talking about it this morning. I always give her a hard time. And she knows I'm playing. But we're coming to work today, and I'm like, oh, look at that brand new fence right there. I bet they're going to have cows in there. You know, you could have had cows. You could have had a place like that. We could have bought some land and put up a fence and had cows, and, you know, because that's what I want. I want to have some cows. And you could have had that, and you know what she did? She knows. She plays with me for just a second, then she, like, just hammers me. All right, she said, well, you need to take that up with God. No, don't tell me that. Right? That doesn't play along nice. But that's the reality. I'm not the one calling the shots. If I were calling the shots, I'd be living on 100 acres with a bunch of cows, and I might be too busy for God. I might be deer hunting and fishing instead of coming to meet with the body of Christ to hopefully encourage, instruct, exhort, prepare. I might be doing a whole lot of other things if I am the master of my fate and the captain of my soul. I have been freed from sin, and now I am enslaved to God. He is the one that directs my steps. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord directs his steps. He's the one who calls the shots in my life today. See, that's the reality. If you want to be free, if you want to genuinely be free, be given totally to God, to his purpose, to his will for your life. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be a preacher. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be a missionary. It might mean you just live a normal, everyday life in a community as a free person. Free from sin. not encumbered by the weight of the world around you. Free to love God and free to love the people around you as well. Paul says, look, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit. You get the benefit of that. What benefit was there to that old way of life? The drinking, the carousing, the carrying on, all that. You look back at now and it's like, what was I doing? Yeah, and that's just a list of stuff. Fill in whatever your sin was or is. What benefit is there in that? You never see benefit from that. And yet Paul says, look, you've been freed from sin and now you're enslaved to God and you get the benefit. You have derived that benefit. What is the benefit? Resulting in sanctification. You are being set apart for holiness. That's what God's at work doing. You didn't just come to church today. Today is a point in your life in which God is drawing you more and more into holiness. How does He do that? Well, He shows me what holiness looks like. Then He shows me what's not holy in my life and gives, hey, do something about it. And I can confess the known sin that I have in my heart. And now I can walk in holiness. I'm free from that. I don't go back to it. This is not, what do they call that when prisoners get out of jail for a day and then have to go back at night? What do they call that? Huh? Day release or something. That ain't how our lives are. It's not like you get freed on Sunday morning and then you go back into bondage to sin again later in the day. It's not how it works. You're free from that. Walk in it. He said, well, you don't know. I got to deal with these folks. I got to deal with this situation. Man, walk in the truth. See the folks. See the situation. See the need for what it genuinely is. And walk in. Stop making more out of it than it is. Make much of your God. Be enslaved to Him. That results in sanctification. And the outcome of sanctification is eternal life. The outcome of that is eternal life. Nobody has eternal life apart from sanctification. And you go, wait a minute, that's this process thing, right, that takes all of your life. Yep. And it really doesn't matter if that process is 3 hours long, 30 years long, or 100 years long. Thief on the cross, was he sanctified? Absolutely. He was set apart for holiness. What did he do to accomplish that in his life of 3 hours? After that, nothing. Your sanctification and your holiness are not derived from your effort. But you do pursue it. Desire the heavenly, the holy. Lay aside the encumbrances of sin and the things that so easily beset us. Lay aside the things of this life. Lay it down. By whatever means you got to, lay it down and put on Christ. Because the truth is, if you want to be free, you got to walk as a free man. And if you want to be a free man, you got to be free from all of these things. That's only accomplished in Christ. This is not self-help. This is not how to fix me in 12 easy steps. This is I am totally given to God. and I'm trusting Him completely. That's how we're free. And we're going to walk in that. Next week we'll see our example of that. Matt will have our song. Father, we thank You for Your word, for the truth that sets us free. Father, I pray we walk in that. We walk in Your word. Lord, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, that repentance, that vision of repentance, of turning away from sin towards You. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen.